Yeah, we're in chapter 47. It's going to be found on page 247 and 248. Chapter 47 is short in size, but long in content.
Good.
Good on the short and size.
Not on the short, but the content.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm in no hurry to be done here. I got to take this in.
Yes, indeedy. Is that okay?
Now that we've been through this, I'd like to learn it.
Okay, we're taping. Anyway, so he says, this, we've been talking about in chapter 45, 46, is the idea of developing a love of Hashem. And here, the love of Hashem is most easily expressed with the saying of the Shema.
Yeah.
You know, in the Shema, you have the focal point there. In the second paragraph, in the first paragraph, is V'haftes Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha v'chol ma'idecha. So you have the love of it there. And this love is achieved through the saying of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, which will be talked about at great length later. So he says now, V'chol dor v'dor v'chol yom v'yom chayev adam lirois atzmai ki ilu hu yatsa hayayim in Mitzrayim. The Rebbe saw fit to include this statement in the 12 Pesukim that little kids are supposed to say, okay, as being one of the fundamental principles of Judaism. Right. It's a Mishnah, it's almost a Mishnah, taken from Masechet Pesachim, with a few added words from the Alter Rebbe. It states, in every generation, and indeed every single day, those are the authors,
yes,
a person should consider himself as though he himself went out from Egypt, and then the Alter Rebbe adds, today, or that day.
Aha.
Okay, Alter Rebbe adds the word today. Okay, now, so this is, this mission is taken in Masechet Pesachim, and, this mission is taken from Masechet Pesachim, and you have a parallel between this and the blowing of shofar, for example.
Okay.
We blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah for what purpose? It says, "Kidei shetam luchoni aleichem melech," in order that we should accept Hashem as king. Okay, that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about.
Right.
But you'd ask the question, why do we have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah if every day we say the Shema? And what's the purpose of saying the Shema? Is to accept Hashem as king.
Right.
Okay, that's Midraisa. So we answer that the set pat answer is, explaining Hasidism, appears all over the place, is that because we hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah and have accepted upon Hashem as king on Rosh Hashanah, that gives us the strength to do it every single day of the year.
Okay.
Right. So now, we have another mitzvah. We have a mitzvah that we left Egypt. We have to consider ourselves as though we left Egypt. This is a mitzvah, one of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, 248 positive commandments, as though we left Egypt. Consider ourselves as though we left Egypt. And he says here that this is accomplished again by saying the Shema. Okay, as he says right here, "V'hu yitzias v'nefesh alukis b'masar haguf mashach dechav alichal b'yuchud arnesay baravali days a keter mitzvahs v'chal v'prakav bolus malchus shemayim v'kriyur shema." And this is accomplished. This is what does yitzias Mitzrayim mean? Yitzias Mitzrayim means the godly soul escaping the limitations of the body, which he calls the body, the snake skin. Mm. You know, those things you see walking in the woods, you know, and it's just like something crawled out of him and just left it behind. That's essentially what our body is. And when we think snake, what do you think when you think snake? Think biblical.
Evil.
Yeah. Well, that's the source of evil.
Right, sure,
exactly.
Of course.
Because the body is referred to as Ave Avoy Satuma. A dead body is the greatest carrier of and transfer of ritual impurity, of Tumah. There are more ways in which a person could become in contact, could become tummy through a dead body than any other thing. Okay? It's called Ave Avoisa Tumah. People come in contact with it called Ava Tumah or Rishana Tumah, whatever the condition they happen to be in. Whereas other things, the person might be a sheni to tumah, a secondary tumah, even a third type of tumah, a tertiary type of tumah. So, but the body is looked upon as being the greatest source of impurity. And it's into that that our godly soul is stuck.
But that's only, the, isn't that considered that way only after it's dead?
Yeah, after, after it's dead.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, it's not a soundproof wall. Because the soul in the body turns it into, removes the impurity. It takes away that impurity. You know, you have a person who's even just in the throes of death, but he's still breathing. You know, you can call this person a goimer, you can call him a gosis even. You know, the a gosis is a person who's in the experiencing the death rattle. Okay, where it says that you're not allowed to touch this person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know that.
You know, if his eyes are open and he's rattling around, he can't close his eyes, he can't touch the guy. Okay? But there's no impurity there because this neshama is still there.
Wow.
Okay.
So why aren't you permitted to touch him?
Because it might be detrimental to him. It may actually kill the guy.
Oh, I see, I see. Okay.
So the so but this the body by itself, it's not that way, you use the term very glibly, it's nothing more than just a mud pie. You know. So the and being that it is an inanimate object, its nature is not to move.
Sure.
So okay. The soul has to fight. It's an uphill fight to get this the body to move. You experience that every time the alarm clock goes off in the morning.
Indeed, yes.
It's an uphill battle to get the soul to get the body to move.
Yeah.
Okay. So
at least any positive direction.
And the body has a nature, just like the nature of a rock is to fall to the ground, which we'll talk about that later. So our body, its nature is to be drawn towards the physical world. And so there's these limitations that are put on the soul. The soul itself, we talked about before, is a chelek elokim and mahal. It's an expression of infinity.
Right.
It looks like Hashem. It has these all these wonderful godly powers. It only longs for godliness. So you have this conflict that we've been talking about now for 47 chapters. So here he's calling it our own personal exodus from Egypt. And he says, and how is this accomplished? Whenever you do Torah and mitzvahs, whenever you daven, whenever you do some kind of good deed, okay, you're exercising your godly soul over your body. And he says specifically with the saying of the Shema. I'll explain why specifically of the Shema, but this leads us back to the parallel to Rosh Hashanah. If it is that I accomplish an exodus from Egypt every time I say the Shema, what do we need a Pesach Seder for? Because technically speaking, you fulfill your obligation of Yitzhak, the manager mentioning we left Egypt, when you mention that you're Pesach Seder. And the answer is the same like the shofar. It's because we did it on the first night in Pesach, and we ate matzah then, and we talked about the Exodus. That gives us the strength then for the whole year to go out of our cells when we say the Shema.
Rosh Hashanah gives us the ability to say the Shema.
Rosh Hashanah gives us the
Pesach.
It's two different things. It's an interesting thing
Pesach
also.
Pesach gives us the ability to go outside of ourselves. Correct. When we say the Shema.
Okay, so Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it's an interesting thing.
Pesach.
They're about 6 months apart.
Right, sure.
Okay. It's one's from the top down, the other one's from the bottom up.
Okay, yes.
Okay, Pesach is from the top down. Yeah, so because Pesach, it says that the Jews during that time were on the level of Tzaddikim. Rosh Hashanah, we're talking already the level of Bali Tshuva. Okay, so there's two different, it's the same thing that's happening, but one is from the Pesach is, Pesach is, I'm going out of my limitations. You really can't, it's just like you said earlier, what chapter was it, I think chapter 13. If it wouldn't be for the fact that Hashem helps us, we'd never be able to overcome our physical desires.
Agreed.
So that means that that's from the top down.
Yeah.
So our ability to go out of, how did we get out of Egypt?
Yeah.
It was nothing that we did.
It's a gift from Russia.
It was all from a, from
right,
the top.
Of course, yeah.
Whereas Rosh Hashanah, which is already now, how are we going to make it through the next year? As accepting a king is what's us. It's us accepting Hashem as king. So we're the ones who are doing it. Okay, so
supposed
now
to be anyway.
The final result is, what happens is you got both things working.
Right.
You got the top down and the bottom up.
Yeah,
and
so
they meet.
Supposed to meet in the middle.
They meet at Shema.
Yeah.
Okay, because what happens during Shema is, okay, so you're accepting Hashem as king over yourself. That's what you're doing. And the result of you accepting Hashem as king is you're going to go out of your limitations.
Yeah.
So you have both things going on.
Right.
So he said the Kriya Shema, Sheba mekabel umamshech alav yechudi yisbarek v'feresh ba'amra havai lekeno v'ayachot. That what happens is when a person says Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the main emphasis there being the word Echad, one, he draws down this unity with Hashem. Mm. And indeed, when a person is saying the word Echad, okay, so it talks about you should be thinking the Aleph is standing for Hashem, and the Ches is in the seven heavens and the earth, and the Dalet is the four directions, and they're all one. So what is it that you're supposed to be thinking there? So the mental whatever goes into great length talking about this idea of feeling one with Hashem. In order for a person to feel one with Hashem, it doesn't mean that I'm one and Hashem is one.
No.
Okay? Because what that means is now is, because as far as I know, one and one is two.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? To feel one with Hashem, you have to start out with the premise that Hashem is one, and that I'm nothing, because right. One and zero is one.
Right.
So a person really has to, in order to experience this unity with Hashem, this oneness with Hashem, a person has to totally and completely lose themselves.
Right.
Now, is such a thing possible? It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's a process which comes, the Middle Rebbe describes as a process which comes after he's boinedness. The Alter Rebbe doesn't talk about this at all. And not in Tanya, not in the Likutei Torah, and I couldn't tell you about any of his other Maimarim because I haven't learned them yet. But the Mittler Rebbe talks about it quite extensively, that once a person has got the, his boinenes stuff down, his boinenes is Lashon Bina, his understanding.
Yeah.
And the more you, it could very well be that the more you understand, the bigger you become. Which is an opposite effect. Even if you're thinking about the greatness of Hashem.
Truly understand? I don't know if truly understand.
Okay. Okay, this understanding. Okay.
Thinking you understand,
yeah.
You can get bigger.
Yeah, yeah. So the person's understanding.
Yeah.
Okay, so he understands how, what he says in the beginning in chapter 3, how Hashem fills all the worlds, means he understands the creation process, how we got here, how we got here in our limited manner, and as a, with the ability of conveying life, and then Soviv Kol Omim, which is the relation, this greater godly revelation, which doesn't permeate the world,
right.
But it keeps it and sustains it.
Right, right.
And then how everything compared to Hashem is like nothing.
Right.
Okay, so the Alter Rebbe says the person who's going to do that, so he's going to evoke a great love and fear. Okay? That's the ahavta part.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the answer to the question. How could you, the Tzemach Tzedek asks, how could you tell somebody if you have to, you must love something?
Yeah.
You must love Hashem with all your heart, soul, and might. And it says, how could you command somebody to love? So the Tzemach Tzedek explains, no, if you'll meditate on Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, the outcome will be that you will love Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have no choice.
So the Mittler Rebbe says, is we want to take that one step further. Because that's all with your Mayach HaBina. That's all with your left brain. Okay. If you want to take it up a notch, that you really truly feel the unity, the oneness of Hashem, you have to use the left side of your brain, the right side of your brain.
Okay. Okay.
The chachma. Well, he doesn't use exactly the word he's. If you have the word he's boininus coming from bina, so it'd be something like he's chachmos. But he doesn't use that word.
Okay.
Okay. He just uses. You have to use the mayach chachma.
Okay.
Now,
right.
What's mayach chachma do? There is a researcher. I don't know if we talked about this before. There was a researcher in neuroendocrinology in Boston.
Okay.
This is a woman who was lecturing on basically stroke victims. Her specialty was strokes.
Okay.
And the effects that stroke have on cognition, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, okay.
Okay? She suffered a stroke. And realized in the middle of the stroke, suddenly, hey, this is what I lecture about. I'm having a stroke. Okay? And she describes there, she understood what kind of stroke she must be having, doing the different things that she's seen. And she's having a right side bleed, which meant that the right side of her brain, which we call the left side, the bina part, is being turned off. And the only thing that's left on is the chachma part. So she said that she was leaning against the wall,
right,
and she's looking at her hand, and she couldn't tell where her hand ended and the wall began, because she saw her hand as an energy and she saw the wall as energy. Things lost definition. And she said, this must be what nirvana is all about. Okay, which all the other philosophies, what are they trying to get the person to do, is to turn their brain off, which you can't do that anyway.
Right.
The TM and the Hare Krishnas and the Buddhists and the Shmudists and the Shintos, what are they trying to do? They're trying to achieve this,
right,
where you stop thinking.
Right.
Okay, so here the Mittler Rebbe Lahavdil says, not that we want you to stop thinking, but we want you to take it up.
We want you to focus the thing.
Focus, take it one step more than what I'm able, because your bina, your his bininess, is based on your level of comprehension.
Right.
How much you understand.
Which is extremely,
whatever it is,
it's limited.
So like this, that a person's not thinking about something, but just experiencing it.
Right, okay.
Getting lost in the echad, you might say.
Right, okay.
Okay, without becoming crazy.
Yeah.
You know, becoming,
right.
You know, some kind of basket case or something that, you know, so. So that, then, is what the Mittler Rebbe was talking about. And that, then, the person truly experiences the echad. It may be, I haven't really said it because I never really understood what it was, that when it says that Rabbi Akiva and three others delved into the pardes. When they went into the orchard, they went into the deep esoterics. One guy died, one guy went nuts.
Yeah, the other guy.
Okay, one guy became an apostate. Rabbi Akiva, he says he was fine. Okay, good. Let's hear it for the BTs. Anyway, so, but how can a person.
But there were only three.
Four. Arbish and Nichnas the Pardes, yes. Don't ask me to name them. I can't.
Okay.
I know there was Ben.
Ben
Azai and then Acher, and I don't remember who the fourth one was.
Yeah.
Who went crazy.
Right.
And then Rabbi Akiva. Yeah. So the this is, what is it that a person could think about that causes them to die? You open up a Kabbalah book and you understand it.
It would be the lack of thinking.
Yeah, it was suddenly that what happened is the person just became so.
They shut their brain.
The brain just, basically they said, this is, hey, I'm out of here. I've experienced the energy. I am not coming back.
Yeah.
And they can understand that such a thing also would cause a person to go crazy. A person would become absolutely, completely schizophrenic from such an experience.
Yeah, sure. Good. Sure, you could.
Okay. So, not that I, you know, can I recommend it at home? Yeah, this you could do at home, but after you get done with the hezbininess.
Yeah, when you get done with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, commotion is boil the eels, we said before. Ki elokeinu hu kamo elokei Avraham. We say that our God is like the God of Abraham, lefi shahaya batal v'nichlal b'yichud or einsev baruch hu. Because Avraham, how did Avraham get to have the title God of Avraham put before his name, you know, the God of Abraham? What did he do? It says he lost himself.
Yeah.
he willingly gave up his free choice.
Abnegation, right.
Yes, in order to promulgate whatever it was that Hashem wanted. Right. Get myself thrown into a furnace, no problem. Sacrifice my son, no problem. Yeah. Kick out my kid, no problem. Yeah. You know, whatever it is that God wanted, I'm there.
Nothing heavy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm there.
Yes.
Because he was nullified and included and incorporated in this unity with Hashem. Rakshavram Zachalizeb Maisav Vahilichu Bekadish Mimajregal Majrega Kamoshikos of Yisavram Halachanis Hanegba, says the Gomer. The only thing is that Avraham merited to this. Avraham earned this title of God of Abraham.
That's huge.
Because, oh yeah, there's only three patriarchs. Hello.
That's huge.
Yes, he merited this because of his actions, that he was continually improving. Mm-hmm. Okay, when it says that Avraham Zakein Baba Yamin, we know that the explanation from the Alter Rebbe, from the Rebbe Rashab, is brought down in the Sichas, that Avraham was old coming with days. And it says that when Avraham got to heaven, so every day proclaimed, today Avraham did this and this on me. And then the next day, Avraham did this and this today. And the next day after that, Avraham did it. There was no wasted day. Every day he was able to take with him. So now, in order to take a day with you, it has to be something more than the day before.
Right.
Because if you're doing today what you did yesterday, then you didn't do anything today.
Right.
If you learned Aleph today,
right,
and you learn Aleph tomorrow,
yeah,
you're wasting your time.
Right.
Because you know Aleph already.
Right.
Right. Today you're going to learn Aleph and Beis, and tomorrow Aleph, Beis, and Gimel.
Right, right, right.
Because the person has to be continually growing and going and continually achieving and accomplishing.
Right, right, right.
So that must mean that if Avraham, all 175 years of him,
right,
when he passed away, was still, the day that he passed away, was a better day than the day before he passed away.
Yeah. Same comprehensible.
Yeah. Okay. How much, so 175 times 365 years better than when he started the whole thing.
Exactly.
Okay, how many ever days that is. He had to work his tail off in order to get this. And Hashem never said, I'm your God until, when does it say? After he passed away.
Yeah.
Then he gets the title, it was a posthumous honor.
Right.
God of Abraham. Because God's saying, wait a minute, what happens after 175? Maybe he'll go 175 in one day and he'll give the whole thing up. Then I want you to know, and then you think it's not such a thing, it's not possible. Such a thing is possible. We see, for example, with Yochanan and Kohen Gadol,
right,
who was Judah Maccabee's grandfather,
yeah,
who was 120 years old. He had been Kohen Gadol for 80 years. Went into the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kodashim, 240 times at the end of his life, gave it all up.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says a person, he's not getting Hashem's name stuck on him until the end.
At the end, yeah.
Okay, that's why he says the Yetzer Hara is called the Melech Zaken Uksil, because even when he's old, he's still stupid. Okay, there's always something out there that looks easier, you know. So Avraham merited this. He went constantly. As it says that Avraham Hailach v'nisav ha-negba. Avraham went and traveled to the south. South is analogous of kindness. Avraham was the epitome of kindness, such that when Avraham was in this world, Chesed of Atzilus complained to Hashem, I am unemployed because Avraham is doing what I should be doing.
Indeed. Where do we learn that south is implied is
if you're facing east, yeah, so south is on the right side.
Ah, okay, fine, sure. Correct.
So then it comes out,
yeah,
that
okay,
east, is, yeah, east,
yeah,
is kindness.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't do you any good if you're standing, for example, in Australia and facing north towards,
yeah,
Jerusalem. But this is
that's a kind of quite
this
work.
This
but
is just the way it is, you know. So Avram had to really put forth an effort, and in doing so, was now able to bequeath that relationship to us. That's a tremendous thing that he was able to do.
Yeah.
Okay. As he says, Aval Anachnu Yerusha Matana Hulanu. This, that we have this relationship with Hashem, like Abraham, that we could say, Elokeinu v'elokeinu. There's an Elokeinu, there's a nu in there that means our. We're saying, Hashem, you're mine.
Yeah.
Okay? We're putting a label on me.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
How am I able to do that? Abraham couldn't do that, not until posthumously, not until after he died.
Yeah.
Because Hashem wasn't so sure. Actually, Hashem probably was sure, but
yeah.
But anyway, we're not going to go there.
Right.
But us, we have no guarantees, and for sure we're not on the level of an Abraham. No, we're even close. Yeah. But he says it's a Yerusha for us.
Yeah.
We inherited it.
Yeah.
The moment that you came out of the womb, it was put into your lap.
Right.
Okay. That is the merit and the responsibility of being, quote-unquote, the chosen people.
Mm.
That Hashem chose us to continue that job that Abraham started.
Right. It's a question. His neshama.
Yeah.
His neshama. He had neshama of a tzaddik.
Abraham.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bet.
I'm sure he did.
He was what you'd call a tzaddik. Tzaddik. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, he was born with it.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one opinion that he was 3 years old when he came out of that cave and recognized that there must be one God.
Right.
So you have to have some natural talent over there.
Yeah, just to come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At age three. That's one opinion as to how old he was.
Wow.
So so for us, it's an inheritance. Now the question becomes is, what do you do with an inheritance? There are three things that you can do with an inheritance. Go ahead.
You can use it.
Yeah.
You can squander it.
Yeah.
Or you can give it away.
Using it and giving away the
same thing. I guess you could ignore it, but I don't know.
You could ignore it. Okay. You could squander it.
Or you can use it.
Or you can make it better.
Okay. Use it. Right. Okay.
That would be the
use. Make it. Right. Okay.
Make it better.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So now we were given what we were given from Abraham.
Right.
So that we could promulgate and build
make it
on it.
Of course, yeah.
The line is that the question is this: how could we bring Mashiach if you had greats like Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu argued in Parshas Va'eschanan 515 reasons why he should be allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael, because Moshe knew that he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach is going to come.
Right.
He's going to force the issue, and Mashiach is going to come.
Right.
Okay. You got a person like Moshe who couldn't bring Mashiach. Hashem just said, what was the final answer of the 515?
Enough.
No.
Done.
No.
Stop.
No.
I don't want to hear it.
No. You're not going. Finished. Because I said so was basically what the answer
was. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I said so. I'm God, and I make the rules, and you can't argue with me anymore.
Exactly.
Okay? Enough.
Yeah. Enough. Done.
So
it's a great idea.
And there were lots of people. I mean, I don't know what anybody would do to try and force Mashiach's coming, but there are people who have tried and been unsuccessful. There's a story involving the Chayz of Lublin. You heard of the Chayz of Lublin?
Sure.
Okay. It says that the Chayz of Lublin died in a very mysterious way. They found his body in a courtyard outside of his bedroom. Okay. It was physically impossible to get out of the window. The window was a high window. It was not a window that you could jump out.
Right. Okay.
And I don't think it was big enough for him to crawl out of either. So it wasn't like he intentionally climbed up and threw himself out the window.
In other words, you couldn't physically get out the window.
I don't think you could physically get out this window.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. But what had happened is he had made a deal, I believe it was with the Sukachev Rebbe. If anybody's listening online and I'm wrong, you can send me an email and correct me. That the two of them together, before Tisha B'Av, were going to force Mashiach to come.
Okay.
The Sukachev died Dalet Av.
Okay.
The Chayza didn't know about it. He did whatever he did. He challenged the Sultan, and he lost. He got thrown out the window, is what the tradition is.
Whoa.
The Sultan threw him out the window.
Whoa.
Okay, now you're going to start with the Chayza of Lublin. I mean, who am I going to compare myself to the Chayza of Lublin? What do I know? I don't know many stories about the Chayza of Lublin. I'm sure there are. I know that, for example, the Chayza of Lublin and the Alter Rebbe were about the same age.
Mm.
I think they're like, one was 17, one was 16 and a half. The Chayza of Lublin came to Mizrach when he was 17, and the Mittler Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe came when he was 19. but I think they were both the same age.
Okay.
The Chayes of Lublin had 90 students who all became Rebbes.
Yeah.
Just as an aside parenthetical,
right.
The Alter Rebbe had about 50 students, and none of them became Rebbes. So who was greater? You know, they all became, they all stayed Lubavitcher Chassidim, you know. So they were, so. But anyway, we're not going to go there.
Right.
So it says about the Chayes of Lublin that when he first came, walked into Mizrich, it was the Mizrich Magid had Yortzeit, and they needed a minion, which I don't understand. If the Rebbe has Yortzeit, why isn't there like a throng of people there? But, you know, so... and it, they needed the minion for Ein Kelokeinu, which means that somebody left before the end of the minion.
Okay.
Which is, how did they do that? Leaving, walk out of the Rebbe's minion and leave him nine?
Yeah.
I don't understand the whole story, but
just,
it says
just yes.
you can't ask a question on a story. That's the rule.
Yes.
So they sent, they went looking for somebody. They find this kid, 17 years old. Okay, so they brought him in. And the Mittler Rebbe said, the Mizrich Magid said, not him, he's a batalon. Which the word batalon means a ne'er-do-well, a nobody, a nothing, you know. He's not good, a good for nothing. Okay, that's what the word batalon means.
Okay.
Okay, so he just walked into town. What do you mean he's a batalon? You know, so they said, no, he said, find somebody else. So they went looking, they couldn't find anybody.
Okay.
So they said, okay, fine, he'll be the 10th. So the Sitcher Market started Ein Kelokeinu, and the Chayes of Lublin fainted. So he said, the Sitcher Market told him, I says, I told you, he was a batlin. He became battle. He saw Ein Kelokeinu, that there's none like no God like ours. I said it, and he saw it. And that's why it's called the Chayes. Chayes means the one who could see. Okay, so there's lots of people who have tried to force the issue of Mashiach's coming, and they haven't been successful.
Right.
What chance do we have? The answer?
Forcing it?
Yeah, the answer is we have a decent chance. Why? Is because everything that all the 3,000 years of good deeds are all accumulated,
right.
Okay, and we're kind of like, it's this like rising stack, and we're on top of this rising stack. And you know what? Those other people, they couldn't jump up and reach it. But because we're sitting on this big pillar of good deeds and all the accomplishments for 3,000 years, there's a very good chance that one of us is just going to push the button and Mashiach is going to come now.
Amen.
That's very
Should
good,
that
you know.
Way.
So,
yeah.
So that's what it means to Yerusha.
Yeah.
And it's a matana hulana shenasan lanu es torasai, that he gave us his Torah. That's a present. It wasn't something that's to be taken lightly. Okay, it's not like you know, somebody you went to St. Louis for the weekend and you brought your wife's a tchotchke,
a trinket.
Know?
Yeah.
No, the Torah wasn't like, listen, you know. This was not a T-shirt. I was at Mount. I was not at Mount Sinai, and all God got me was a T-shirt. You
right,
know?
Yeah,
no.
This is
something which Hashem.
Yeah.
It says, I mean, 2,000. Not to go into what time means right now, but it says 2,000 years. The Torah prefaced the world 2,000 years. Okay, that means that Hashem decided that this thing has been around so long, it has to go to a special place. There was careful consideration given. I want to see if Abraham will be worth it. And not only want to see if Abraham's going to be worth it, I want to see if Abraham's kids are going to be worth it. Because he could have decided, listen, Abraham, you're great, but your progeny, man,
oops.
I can't, no, sorry.
Yeah.
No, but Hashem didn't do that.
Right.
Hashem said, your progeny too.
Yeah.
With all the everything that's been going on in Jewish history, you know, the... So I'm reading a book now on the Cairo Geniza.
Mm-hmm.
That just recently came out.
Okay.
And there's a mention there of the Karaites, which were formed in like the 900s.
Okay.
It was a group that schismed off of the, if that's such a verb, off of rabbinic Judaism, based on the idea that they didn't know how to interpret the Torah. We know how to interpret the Torah. We're going to sit on the floor. We're going to sit in our houses on Shabbos and eat cold food in the dark. Those guys.
Are these like the Tzedukim?
Like the Tzedukim, yeah. Right. Same type.
Same thing.
These are modern days. There is, I think there are two or three three Karaite shuls still in existence. There's one in Jerusalem.
Are you serious?
There's one in Jerusalem. These people are not Jewish. They're definitely not Jewish. I think there might be one in Egypt if it's still there. And I think there's one in like Central Asia someplace. Bukhara, Samarkand, one of these, one of those places.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, but he says over there, we only know of this one group. During the times of the temple, 2,000 years ago, there were 24 different groups that were all in opposition to the rabbinate.
Yeah.
Okay, and they all had their own spin on it.
Right.
Okay, and this is like, you guys, and all of them are saying, you guys are not the authentic Judaism.
We are
the authentic Judaism.
We're the real deal, yeah.
Now, authenticism means that it has to be true.
Right.
How many of those 24 groups are still around? One. Us. The Purushim.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's a Hashem chose to give it to us. Vehilush bar ritzayna v'chachmasa yizbarach, and he enclosed his will and his wisdom in it. Hamiyuchadim b'mahusav asmusa yizbarach and b'tachlis hayichud. And we know that Hashem is united with his will and wisdom. It's not a separate thing. We've been talking about this already for 20 chapters already. That Hashem's will and wisdom is Hashem, and the Torah is Hashem's will and wisdom. So the Torah is Hashem, and we have it. So we have Hashem with an ultimate unity. It's as though Hashem gave us Himself.
Yeah.
And indeed, He's going to give it proof right now. The Zohar explains a verse when they're talking about the dedication of the sanctuary, the donations to the sanctuary.
Right.
It says you have to have all these 15 different things. So yikli truma, and take for me an offering.
Me.
Yeah. So take me an offering is the same like call me a cab. Okay, you're a cab.
Very good. Yes.
Okay. What it should have said is it says over here the lihavi. Oh, you see. What it should have said is, take an offering for me. Take me an offering doesn't make sense in Hebrew, and it doesn't make sense in English. It doesn't make sense in Hebrew either. It's incorrect syntax.
Right.
Your object of your verb is kind of messed up.
Right.
Okay. But there is no accident in Torah. And when it said, take me an offering, that's exactly what it meant.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it means. So that when you put a quarter in a pushka, you are not merely putting a quarter in the pushka. You are taking Hashem with that quarter. That quarter in the pushka over there is you're grabbing onto Hashem and you're doing Hashem. You're totally and completely united with the will and wisdom of Hashem by putting that quarter in Hashem, that quarter in the pushka. So you are taking Hashem, v'yikuli. V'zeh shekosev atitan lanu Hashem alokeinu bi'ahava. This is what it says, not in the Shema, but in Davening, that you should give to us Hashem in love. That by the light of your face you have given to us, and that once a person has gotten into this, he's done the Shema Yisrael and the Baruch Shem, which we'll talk about the difference between Shema and Yisrael and Baruch Shem in the next section, Shal Yichud Vamuna. And now he's into the Ahavta. So Hashem is saying, great, I'm here. Yeah, the oldest, yeah. Mayor of Premyślam was one of these Hasidic rabbis in central Poland. Was a genius as a kid. And the older Hasidim would make fun with him, you know, let's play games with the genius, let's see what kind of good things he could say.
Yeah.
So one of them said, no, Mayor, where's Hashem? So he responded, wherever you let him in. Okay, so if it is that you're in that groove, that you're letting Hashem in,
yes.
So it's automatic then. What does you got? Be'or panecha nasata lana Hashem alokeinu. We have the light of Hashem's face to face. Hashem's countenance.
Yeah.
This is not, it's not a behind the back. It's not from Hester v'halamais. There's no concealment. There's no contractions over there. This is face to face. Okay, and again, we said, like we said, into like six times in chapter 46, because you didn't see the revelation, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It does exist, you just don't see it.
Right.
and you're definitely affected by it. So what is it that is preventing us from achieving this unity? One thing and one thing only. Us.
Yeah.
My mom would say, Allah have a shalom, we're our own worst enemies.
That's a fact. Absolute fact.
Okay. It's we don't want, why, you know, you get to the point, you know, we're up to chapter 47, there's 53 chapters of Sefer Shalbeinani. Mm. And the Alter Rebbe on the first page said that if you'll do what it says in these 53 chapters, you will be a Beinani, in essence, that's what
right,
he said.
Right.
So how come we have a statement like I got from Alter Ben Sion Metzger, you should live long and prosper, that if you ever find a Beinani, you could stick him in the Smithsonian. Because, very simple, we don't want to be Beinani.
Yeah, yeah.
What's preventing us from being perfect people? We don't want.
Yeah. As much as we.
You could say I do. I would love to be a. I want to really be this, like, you know, perfect person who never wastes a minute. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Much as we say we learn this, we don't comprehend it at all. If we did. If we understood it, I mean,
if you actually saw the ramifications of.
That's the thing.
But that's it. We don't see it.
We don't see it.
No. Okay. If you would see the giloy every time you put on tefillin and every time you did a mitzvah, it'd be so much easier. That was a Sperl Zeta's line. What do you want from us? You put a Yetzirah in our hearts, and you put the Torah in a book, and you tell us, go. If you would have put the Torah in our hearts, the Yetzirah in a book, it'd be much easier. Your 40 books, what do you expect from us?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so the yeah. We, the bottom line is we don't want to. That's why it says in Pirkei Avos that the workers are lazy and the master is pushing.
Yeah.
Okay, and Hashem is saying just do a little more. And that's really what's Yetzias Mitzrayim is that today is better than yesterday.
Yeah.
And better is a relative term.
Yeah.
All you have to just be going in the plus term.
Yeah.
We're not looking for best.
Yeah.
We don't want every day to be best. We want it to be better than
just
yesterday.
Yeah, better is a far, truly, better is a
better is a better word, yes.
Better is a better quality.
Yes.
Yes. Best.
Okay. If you could do that, then you are going out of your Egypt.
Yeah, yeah.
The Ruach, I see Ruach, v'emshech Ruach. Because a spirit draws down a spirit, and a spirit excites a spirit and draws down a spirit. Okay, you have the concept of eskafia, for example.
Mm.
Okay, eskafia is, in simple English, controlling yourself.
Controlling yourself, yes.
And for some people, you mentioned this back a couple of chapters, controlling yourself is harder than allowing yourself to be martyred. Okay? Kill me, but let me eat my cake.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so, but what happens is a person tells themselves, I don't want it. It says, like, if a person, in order to do a scoff, you should say, EFSHI. What could I do? I really want to eat it, but the Torah says I can't eat it.
Yeah.
Okay, the last time, when was the last time you, you don't have to answer this question, but the last time that you said, you know, I'd really like a BLT.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, this is not where we go.
Right.
Because why? We have told ourselves that that is something which is that we really don't want.
Yes.
That's okay?
True. Yeah.
So, I have a friend in Australia who Nebuch came out with a case of diverticulitis.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, which are like pockets in the, intestines. And he had to change his whole diet.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
So he was complaining. He was in the hospital for like a week, you know. He's complaining to one of his congregants how hard it is for him now. He can't eat this and he can't eat that. And he says, the congregant says back to him, Rabbi, what did you tell me years ago? I can't eat pork, I can't eat shellfish, I can't eat bacon. What's the difference? No, put your money where your mouth is. You have to tell yourself, okay, so now he can't eat raw carrots.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, nah.
Yeah,
you know, so But it's the same thing with controlling yourself.
That's pretty good.
It says all you got to do is just tell yourself.
That's all you
gotta anytime you say all you got to do, you know, it's more than all you got to do. But the thing is once a person puts that effort through and says, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
Right. Yeah.
This is not worth it. This is not where I want to put my head.
Right.
Okay, or the rest of my body.
Or anything else.
I don't want this.
Right.
Okay, however geschmack it is, whatever, and however appeasing it appeals, like, I don't want to. As soon as a person makes that statement, Hashem gives them a push. Says, good, bravo.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, that's where Hashem comes in. Is you have to make it. Hashem says that if we're not for Hashem, we'd never be able to defeat the Yetzer Hara. But Hashem's saying, I'm not pulling. I'm not going to schlep. You make the step, I'll carry you.
I'll give you
but
a little push,
you got to do the you got to do the initial. Steps, you have to overcome the initial inertia. I'm not doing that one.
Yeah, you got to make the steps. That's right. Ouch.
And v'hu b'chinas yitzias Mitzrayim. And every time you do that, every step is another step out of your Egypt. Lach and tiknu parshas yitzias Mitzrayim b'shas kriyas Shema dafka. That's why we have the third paragraph of the Shema. The third paragraph of the Shema is technically not the Shema. Because you have, first of all, you have a mitzvah to say Shema twice a day.
Right.
And then there's a mitzvah to say, if I left Egypt once a day. So what did the Chachamim do, I don't know how long ago, to the Anshei Knesset Gedolah? They said, okay, listen, cost effective, we'll put the two together. Okay, so at the same time you're saying Shema, at the same time you're going to say about leaving Egypt.
Right.
But in order to stick things together, there has to be points of comparison. You look at the double portions, for example.
Right, okay.
You notice that Tazria and Metzorah are stuck together.
Sure, of course.
It's not Metzorah Achrimos.
No.
It doesn't go that because they didn't fit.
Yeah,
it
doesn't quite fit, yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
And it's not Emar Bahar, it's Bahar Bukhukosai because there's points of
comparison.
So in order to stick the third paragraph, and we call it the third paragraph of the Shema.
Right.
To call it that.
Right.
Means that there are comparable points.
There's connections.
Yeah. Because they're all one thing. Same thing at the end of the third paragraph. It says, "I'm Hashem." It's the same thing.
Right.
To be continued.
All right. Good.